Well, that's the panel, folks.
Found 4 minutes of footage on YouTube.
Already? How about that? Oh, is this the footage? It is.
I'm going there.
It is. It's live on YouTube. Yes. Yes, it's the behind the scenes. So, Mark.
I'm watching.
Hang on. Put pause. Mark, you gotta pause it. Pause it, Mark.
I'm just like,
pause. Mark.
I paused.
Okay. I had to, because the Skype was muting us out. Here's the problem. You and I are both connected to mixers, so we have to actually have it buffered and loaded at the same time so we can watch it together in synchronicity. Folks, it is live. If you want to see the footage reel, I'm going to cue the Star Wars music. I'll hit play since my audio will go through nicely to you. And that, see, this is like enjoying a fine dessert. I'm like perfectly planning how I watch this video. I'm sure everybody in the chat's already watching it. But what we will do is a couple quick things, including Mark. I will count down and then we'll play it at the same time. But you just listen to my audio as you watch the video, if that'll work for you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got up to Mark Hamill once I realized I can mute Skype. And I was like, "Oh my god, this is awesome!" All right, so and I'm if back
you're
to zero.
All right, guys, if you have not seen the video yet, here's what you want to do. I'm popping it in the live chat right here, and I see that Kenny already linked to it. But that's the link you want to go to, and then I'm going to do a 3-2-1-0 or 3-2-1-go, and on the word go, hit play from the zero counter. That's to everybody in the chat. That's to you, Mark. And then when we do that, we will literally go into our proper episode where we will do reactions to the panel we just saw in 3-2-1-go.
Sets, practical effects.
You've been here, but you don't know this story.
Nothing's changed, really. I mean, everything's changed, but nothing's changed. That's the way you want it to be, really. To see the way the technology has evolved, and yet keeping one foot in the pre-digital world.
It couldn't be more exciting. It's still surreal.
We are here on day one of Star Wars Episode 7.
You're here.
How incredible is that?
I can die now.
All right.
My whole life has led to this moment. I'm in heaven.
I think we've worn the suit out probably quicker than we expected, because every time you meet someone, they just want to hug him.
Getting back to the old days, the old ways of doing things.
JJ's trying to make sure these movies have a physicality to them. We truly are out in a desert, a real desert.
Star Wars. I'd burn for Star Wars.
And I'm just going to bring this character to life.
You don't get to build an X-Wing every day or a Millennium Falcon. Every day I come to work smiling.
Energy and action!
You have to pause, take a breath, slow down, and really not freak out.
Thank you.
I was in the same room as all these legends and with all these new people who I'm sure will go on to be legends themselves.
You know, it's being done with such love and such enthusiasm from everybody. And I think that you'll be able to feel that coming off the screen.
It means so much to so many people.
You just know what it's going to be like in the cinema.
Star Wars is an important part of everyone's history. It's a beautiful thing to actually be involved in it.
Son of a bitch, Sith named Tenebris.
Oh, wow. I don't... it's laughter and joy. Mark, I'm a little choked up. I'm not gonna lie.
You that was, think?
That was beautiful.
What are you new?
Yay! I don't know what to say.
I wasn't expecting any of this tonight. My phone went all to hell. I was like, oh, I still got a podcast, and I'm in such a bad mood. And then, you know, I got to go on Cloud City Casino, and that cheered me up, and I forgot all about my phone stuff. And then my wife come home and was like, I gotta take the phone. I was all like, oh, no. And Riley's like, all gun home, and I gotta get down to the phone thing. And then all this happened. I was just like, oh,
it's,
what?
It's a big day. Oh, my goodness. There's no way. Guys, that's it. I'm hitting the music. I've literally, Mark, I have lost my composure. I can't actually function well. All right, this is the start. The Star Wars Report podcast. We've been broadcasting live and reacting, trying to keep composure as we react to the Comic-Con 2015 Lucasfilm panel. Ah, so many feels. Guys, it's the Star Wars Report podcast. Let's do it. Howdy, folks. Welcome. It is the Star Wars Report podcast, broadcasting live at StarWarsReport.com/live. If you're hearing this on the podcast version, you just missed Riley genuinely losing composure on air because I just watched, followed, the entire Comic-Con panel, Lucasfilm Comic-Con panel for 2015, where they revealed so many amazing things about this film, and I'm on a Star Wars high. I literally don't have the ability to communicate what I want to communicate, and it's very trite to kind of say the feels, right? That's the hype. It's the internet Twitter age, but it is truly an accurate description of my mental state of being. Mark Herleman, welcome to the program. Help me. You're my
help you. I don't know if I'm any better. I've been podcasting all day, and then we just went into that awesomeness. I mean, we had Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, we had Harrison Ford. I mean, so much stuff. And then those lucky Star Wars fans got to go to a concert afterwards. J.J. Abrams became the Oprah of all Star Wars directors ever, and you get a concert, and you get a concert,
exactly.
You get a concert.
It was ridiculous. We literally broadcasted for an hour and a half covering this panel because it went long. A couple of things to get in order right off the bat while I kind of collect my thoughts here and figure out what on earth we're doing here. Unfortunately, the reality is that I have about half an hour here on the podcast proper, which I kind of hate, But we are broadcasting live at StarWarsReport.com/live. Huge thank you to all of you guys who've tuned in. It's, but Mark, I don't know if you've been watching, but it's by far our biggest night broadcasting ever. And I had
at one point I saw 48 people in the chat.
It was amazing.
Like, whoa, there's a lot of people here tonight.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, like, right now, I've seen, you know, numbers like 17 and stuff like that on occasion, but never in the 40s. I was like, whoa. This is a good night to be doing this, man. And I mean, to think I sat down and started preparing for podcasting tonight at 1 p.m. I mean, I did a whole episode with Nathan on Michael's Cloud City Casino right before we did all that other stuff. I didn't even realize that this was going on. Like, you know, as everything was happening, my wife's like, so how much longer until you're done? I'm like, oh, we're just getting started. Like, there's a live event going on right now and we're covering it. Like, I don't know where I missed the memo, but I was like, oh my God, I got to get my game face on.
Well, and that's the thing is because it was such a weird experience because it was us, these awkward pauses while we were reading the tweets and the live streams and the live blogs. And again, we're recording this within 15 minutes of the panel having ended. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of, this is our immediate reaction. And it's just crazy. So we're going to get into all the details. We're going to talk about what was shown at the panel. I'm going to leave the introduction to the episode, Mark. What you guys listening to the podcast version here will be the video playing. And we will hopefully have a time to kind of generally talk about the video a little bit. But a couple quick things out the gate. Again, huge thank you to everybody tuning in live. It was an absolute blast. We're definitely doing this again. I absolutely loved the live blog coverage from StarWars.com, from IO9, everybody tweeting pictures and video. It was, again, the product of the social media age, and I hope you guys enjoyed tuning in live. John, I see you're heading out of the chat. Thanks for swinging by. So I guess the big thing is, again, guys, I'm trying to keep my composure here and having a hard time. We couldn't be doing this without our patrons and the guys supporting us at patreon.com. And if you guys are listening to the live broadcast or the podcast version, go to patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Basically, the reason I can actually functionally have two rigs up, even albeit cheap ones, going where I have Mark on and I'm doing all of the live broadcasting and stuff. That's purely and barely a result of the patrons. And we're definitely trying to be able to do this more often. This kind of live experience I have absolutely fallen in love with. And you can help us get there and get some really cool bonus audio and other bonus content, including T-shirts and stuff like that, at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. We do appreciate you guys who support us. Even if you can't support us financially, that's cool. We really appreciate you just tuning in and listening to this shenanigan show where Riley can't talk straight. But again, if you want to go to patreon.com/StarWarsReport, you know what this week's bonus audio is going to be? It's literally going to be the giant pre-show, which was the entire hour and a half of Mark and I reacting live to the panel as it happened. Including the moment Harrison Ford walked up on stage, which is I would be ashamed of in any other context, but it's freaking Star Wars, so I don't care. I did kind of fall apart.
Well, see about how the Beyonders fell apart. I believe we got some people waiting to jump in, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We do. So let's go ahead and get ready to go. I'm gonna bring Joey Tavano on the program, who's gonna join us for this period. And we'll do kind of rapid fire calls as well afterwards, but I just want to get him. He is on Skype on the phone, but from retrozap.com, we'll see if Joey Tavano is available. Is that you, Joey?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Coming through loud and clear.
Hey.
Whoa. I can't believe what just happened.
That was memorable.
Yeah, memorable. That was life-changing.
Better than the trailer.
That was what I saw you put in the chat, and that I think is the first thing is I have to be totally transparent out the gate. After watching that video, after reacting and seeing all the pictures flood in of Harrison Ford stepping on stage and seeing that behind-the-scenes video, I had a reaction. You can listen to it. You just heard it on this very podcast. I lost it in a way that I did not. I absolutely did not. That's the beauty of Skype troubles. But no, like seriously, I lost my composure. I couldn't keep it together. There was a kind of intellectual curiosity that
I was right there with you. I really was. But it was just seeing those friendly faces come back. It's like seeing family.
Yeah.
Like you haven't seen it forever. It was amazing.
Yeah. And
not that I've ever done it, but I felt like I was one of those contestants that go into those little wind chamber rooms and they flick money around at you and I had to grab as much as I could. I mean, I was like, it's coming too fast. I just, the three, okay, next 20, the next 20, the four, next 80. I was like, yeah. Couldn't keep up.
That's what I was doing, trying to get all those pictures on RetroZap.
That's such a quick amount of time. I'm like, man, hats off. Like, I can't imagine what you missed out on in that 5-minute gap where you had to tuck out of the rapids.
I missed nothing. No, it was crazy. I had my phone and my computer and my wife and my daughter looking at me like I was nuts. And I'm like, you don't know.
Yes.
You don't know what I'm doing here.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That is good. Because, yeah, I was in a panic that my phone was dead. Like, it was literally dead to the point that it was giving me some weird message. And then my wife's coming in here going, what kind of phone do you want? iPhone or an S5? I'm like, I don't even know. Like, I can't get you on Star Wars right now. And she's looking at rolling her eyes. I'm like, you don't even know, honey. Like, this is like Hamill all over again.
Yeah. And this.
I'm right there with you.
And I can't. Again, I just can't believe the sheer amounts of stuff that I have no like organization in front of me as far as everything that was broken during it. But I just have to say it was incredible. The video, the big thing, I guess, in our limited time is the video. I think that's what we want to talk about. And then we'll each kind of do roundtable of what you think the most impactful moment, I think, from this whole experience is. And I see some folks calling in already. Here's what you want to do. Jedi Riles is the Skype name. We'll take calls real fast at the end to be able to rotate people through and get their kind of reactions to what we just all witnessed together. Good heavens. So I guess where to start? I'm going to pull up the Force Awakens, photos and, that are on retrozap.com. Retrozap.com is where you want to go.
Hey.
Joey, I've got your images up. I have to say, what was your overall impression?
Wow. I'm still trying to process everything I saw. It was all like everything you had dreamed this movie could be was coming to life before your eyes and more. Like all the glimpses that we've been receiving through Vanity Fair and through the first two teaser trailers, they're just there in broad daylight for you to see. And it was just absolutely overwhelming amount of information that we're going to be picking apart for days and weeks to come.
Absolutely. And I think that's what we're going to do here. We'll go through the video. So I'm going to drop it to you guys in the Skype chat. And make sure that I've got it. There we go. Let me hit that. So there you guys go, just in case you didn't have it up. We'll go through the video and kind of give our general reactions to it. But what I love about it is just there's kind of an edge of mystery to both trailers that we've seen. And we already know from Kathleen Kennedy that they're not going to release another one until the fall.
Yeah.
But seeing... Just an amazing. I don't know. We'll take a listen to. Hang on 1 second. We'll take a listen to this initial portion because it is just amazing. We get to see all of these shots, but they're just sort of brief shot, fade to black, and it's just I love that angle that they have.
There were some great angles there, but I'm currently at 2 minutes and 22 seconds to 2 minutes and 24 seconds. There's a panel with all black. It says Colin underneath it. And you see two guys running down what looks like either a long corridor or a detention cell corridor, but they've got a red type armor on that isn't stormtrooper armor. It almost looks like Asajj Ventress's bounty hunter armor. In the last season of the Clone Wars.
Wait, what timestamp are you on, Mark?
It's at 20 or 2.24 is where I'm at right now, and it's as the two are running past. But when you go to 2 minutes and 22 seconds, it said Colin, because I was like, ooh, what's the name? You know, thinking that. And then I'm looking at the characters that are running by, and I'm like, those don't look like stormtroopers. What the heck is that? Like, it's really odd. But there's a lot of little things like that that they're going so fast that if you don't stop and literally do the scene by scene, you would not notice these things.
Well, and let's do it. Let's do the scene by scene. We see the opening video where we see these kind of fade-in shots, and they show a series of the and again, I'm going to show my Hollywood ignorance of the Star Wars Force Awakens camera snaps that basically start a scene. And we see various scenes getting ready to start filming, and we see these actual brief shots of the film itself as the camera zooms in and focuses on these various shots. You've got R2-D2, you've got the Force Awakens stormtroopers, but the way they start the video is just so... It kills me, because you see the model of the fallen star... starfighter, TIE fighter, and then you see the actual practical TIE fighter, and it just boggles my mind. Let's stop for a second. Joey,
Mixler's down too, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll have to make sure. We'll have to reconnect in just a moment here. We had a little blip on internet. Mixler should resolve it in a few seconds. But yeah, Joey, I'm going to toss to you for this opening sequence.
Oh, man. Everything just flashing before your eyes. Seeing it, it's so real and so practical. Seeing that TIE fighter on fire, I was like, as soon as I saw that, it was like, oh man, we're in it. This is live. This is real. It's not just the two teaser trailers anymore. This is going to be way more than we have even... thought it was going to be. It's unbelievable. And knowing that it's all out there as existing props, they're still out there somewhere, and there's going to be a lot more to come. In terms of practical effects, that it's just so, it makes it so much more real.
It does, and it's kind of weird. Because I started out on the pre-show, like during the panel, where I was a little bit poking fun of how much they try to hype the practical effects as a way to kind of play to the base. But I gotta say, watching this, it's kind of an eye opener.
And then you see them. Once you see it really there, there's just such an appreciation for it, and especially what they can do now. Yeah, they're not really going back to the old ways. I mean, what we're seeing now is the top talent in model making and costume, and these are the highest technology pieces of artwork available. I mean, this is top of the line. It's not going to be like 1976, where we're going to see the best that can possibly be made on, and we're going to see that in the film.
Yeah, this is the top of the class, the A students. I think what we've learned from the prequel trilogy is that they really leaned on the green screen a lot. I mean, when I was watching the Blu-ray special effects of the DVD, of the deleted scenes of it, when we got to the prequel stuff, it was like one or two actors and a lot of blue screen stuff. So, you know, it's like they're taking the best of the blue screen technology and using the full scenes and make – because there were a lot of times, like I was mentioning earlier, where you could see that they weren't quite – eyeing the characters that weren't there, the things that were around them. Like they looked like they had a glazed look in their eyes. But I never noticed that until I seen it on the Blu-ray before. But that's the one aspect that was definitely different from the original trilogy to the prequel trilogy, was that kind of gazed out look. And especially with I've only watched so far the first one, but young Obi-Wan, really, there's a couple scenes where he's looking at Jar Jar, and I remember, you know, he had that, the actor had that head mask and stuff, so his head's pointed at the right spot, but his eyes weren't, and it just kept popping up to me, and I think that that's where they're able to move forward from that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You think about what George Miller did with Fury Road, Mad Max Fury Road, and there is a ton of CGI in that movie, but it's only, you know, practical effects are what they touted. So it's a lot of the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, guys. And that's the thing. Mad Max is a good example of that kind of practical effects merged well with the films itself. And that was, again, an amazing accomplishment from this past year. And hopefully we can see that level of attention to story, but also practical effects, but also merged well with new technology. It's amazing. And to folks in the chat, Let's take a couple quick calls, because I just realized for time's sake, we won't really have the ability to to do a full reaction. But we'll kind of keep I want to play this little bit of Mark Hamill. Oh wait, we'll take a quick call from Kenny Crowley. Let's see, Kenny, let me merge you with hang on 1 second, I'm gonna merge you with our call. I gotta get Kenny on the line here. And then we ring a ding 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 do. Kenny, how's it going, man?
Holy smokes. Hold on, let me turn down my TV.
turn down your radio, sir. No. Alright, I gotta say, Kenny, because we're gonna try to get in a number of calls, but I gotta say, well, what was your big takeaway? What was your big moment?
Well, the footage for me, I won Comic-Con. And also the big three being on stage there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah, it's weird to see, because as long as we've known they'd be in the movie, there's something in the back of your mind that isn't fully, that doesn't recognize it until you see it happen.
Yeah. That was like thinking Harrison Ford walk out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just saw Leia for the first time in 30 years.
Yes.
Yeah. And a lot of people before this were poo-pooing, they're going to just show behind-the-scenes footage and not give us a trailer. What?
But
well, the behind-the-scenes footage looked pretty darn impressive to me.
Absolutely. No, as Joseph said, it was better than the trailer, and I'm right there with you, Joseph. It got a more visceral reaction than the trailer for me.
I'll take it.
Yeah, and you heard me. I mean, you hear it at the beginning of the podcast. And yeah. That's a good point. I think it's outdone. And it sounds like Kenny, it sounds like we're not going to get a trailer till the fall. Do you think we need a new trailer, or do you think two's enough?
Well, here we got one teaser. We got a second teaser. We got the behind the scenes footage. I think all that's left is the theatrical trailer.
Yeah.
That's.
I think one full theatrical trailer is the way to go. But that, I mean, and that's, I think we will get it a little bit later, probably.
Just Riley, if you look at the way that the prequel trailers came out, that's exactly how they came down. Teaser one, teaser two,
and then
teaser
like,
three, and then a theatrical trailer after that.
Yeah, so, well, and it looks like we may skip one of those teasers and to go straight to the theatrical trailer, but there we go. And as Cloud City Casino was pointing out in the chat, Michael, it was basically D23 is where we look at a little bit later. At the end of next month, we never know. But
yeah, Riley, do you really think they're going to show anything at D23? Because that's more like a Disney film announcement event.
Yeah, I do. I think that's the time where they might show the other teaser. But the big thing I do think is the parks. That's what they're going to go for.
Yeah, the parks, I think, is where we're going to get our news. I think New York Comic Con, we may get more news.
That's true.
Maybe some more figure reveals, because we got one today, mm-hmm. which was that Black Series 6-inch first order TIE fighter.
Yeah, well, and that was amazing too. We didn't even get a chance to talk about that, but yeah, man, thanks so much for calling. We'll let you go. We're gonna grab some more folks on the chat, right. But we'll catch you soon,
thanks,
Kenny.
Thanks, Riley, Mark, and may the force be with you.
May the force be with you, sir. There we go.
See you later, Kenny.
I don't know if I want to take calls or I kind of want to crash Steve Glosson. I kind of really want to crash Steve Glosson because he is also broadcasting live right now.
Gotta get him on.
All right, hang on. I gotta find Steve Glosson, and I'm gonna send him a message. But while I type away that, I've got it. We'll jump back to the video for a second, and I want to play this little section of audio, and then get Mark. I'll get your and Joseph's thoughts, because this is when I seriously chills down the spine.
Real sets, practical effects.
You've been here, but you don't know this story.
Nothing's changed, really. I mean, everything's changed, but nothing's changed. That's the way you want it to be, really. To see the way the technology has evolved, and yet keeping one foot in the pre-digital world.
We want to keep that one foot in the pre-digital world. That, for some reason, when Kathleen Kennedy or even J.J. Abrams says that, it rings a little hollow, a little pandery. But when I hear freaking Luke Skywalker and I see the footage that we see, I'm a chimp. I'm sold.
Mark has been saying this for decades, and it's so great to see everyone listening to Luke finally. You know, I mean, that's the way it has to be. And it's just the way they're talking about it. This is it. This is their life. This is their life's work. And it resonates with them and it resonates with us at the same time.
Mark,
oh, man. I'm in the same boat. I'm speechless, man. I mean, it's like being back there without being there. But only the upside for me this time is that I've gone to a celebration, so I'm not filled with the jealousy that I normally would have. I'm a little jealous of all those people that get to go see the concert afterwards, but the experience that the feelings that just the imagery and the music can conjure up from being there, like that. It just leaves me speechless all over again. I mean, that's the angle about this that's really fun, is knowing that I'm not the only one having this reaction, that all of you guys are having the same reaction, that we're all sharing in this fun. That is probably the coolest thing about this.
Yeah.
I have been so used to being the one guy down in his, you know, garage, sitting here huddling around with all these Star Wars figures and books and stuff, and nobody gives a rat's rump. So it is awesome to be able to come onto this thing they call the internet and interact with other fellow fans. You know, I mean, it's a phenomenal day we live in, man. And having new films coming out and being able to have this great big community to share it with, it's great.
Absolutely.
Dude, I'm literally in my garage right now, in my car, with my phone talking right now for the best audio quality I can have.
Nice. That's awesome. All right, so two things. I just messaged Steve on Skype and in his actual chat room right now. He went live about 15 minutes ago, and I kind of want to crash the Geek Out Loud live reaction show because that's exactly what we're doing. He's listening to it now. Guys, I'm going to turn up the Gulliverse Mixler for a second.
I think that you'll be able to feel that coming off the screen.
It means so much to so many people.
You just know what it's going to be like in the cinema.
This is so awesome.
An important part of everyone's history. It's a beautiful thing to,
ladies and gentlemen,
be involved in it.
What's funny is that Cody Murphy's in both chats, and a lot of people are in both chats, but this is the goal.
So that's the audio from that behind-the-scenes reel that was shown, the Comic-Con reel. No trailer, as a lot of people, myself included, were speculating.
See, this is so
they
amazing.
They're going to have a new trailer rollout in the fall, so maybe three
All right,
months
Steve.
From now.
I'm getting ready to call.
3 months out. And Steve's lost it. Did you hear that?
No.
He was picked in a trailer, but it didn't happen. You're supposed to drop the mic. That's the key right there. If you'd have predicted it and dropped the mic, then we'd been okay.
Yeah, I have no idea if Steve will pick up, because I am literally just totally crashing his live broadcast. So
do it.
Yeah, I know. This is everybody. Everybody, literally, everybody who's in my chat, go over to mixler.com/Gulliverse, and I'm going to put it in our chat, and go harass Steve until he answers.
Storm the gates!
This is like, I don't know if I should or shouldn't feel good about this, but I'm totally doing it. So everybody go there and have Steve answer.
We love Geek Alone.
You will call the Star Wars Report. All right.
Oh, I need that as a bumper.
His hand holds Kylie.
What I will do now is we'll continue our own commentary, because I don't want to make the whole show about trolling Steve Glosson's live chat.
You had to try.
Yeah, had to give it a try.
It couldn't be more exciting. It's still surreal.
We are here on day one of Star Wars Episode 7.
Yeah. And you get to see the cast and crew all gathered in Abu Dhabi as JJ makes the announcement, and there's a level of reverence. I think that's what this video captures, is the level of reverence for what originally made Star Wars Star Wars. And it just blows my mind.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there is I mean they're feeling just like we're feeling. It feels like such the heart of the fan coming through.
Yeah.
So much, and the respect is right there.
Yeah. No. That's the thing. I think that's the word. I think Joey, you've discovered it. This is the heart. There's a level of heart here that we still haven't seen, and that's what it blows me away, to be honest.
Yeah, it really is. You can't make practical effects without heart put into it. Your blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah, and you see the practical effects. You see the
the TIE fighter. That right there. When you see that series of shots, you see it as the model. You see the end result. You see the composition shots that they were thinking of, and then you see it smoking in the live shot. Like, you literally watch it come to life. And I mean, the way it goes from the model to the painted effect to, you know, to the live shot, the detail is there, and the heart's in the detail.
Yeah, and that's I think that's really what this video communicates in a way that we never, you can't really see, you can't really see it. In the trailers, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Again, guys, I'm totally blown away, and really I can't speak coherently, but it is true. There's a level of heart and soul and dedication that you see to the project in this behind the scenes video that you just can't see from something like a trailer, which is just telling you about the story, but not really telling you about the passion behind the people making the story.
I can die now.
All right, there we go. Let's see if we can get him on. It looks like Steve is willing. Steve is calling. All right, let me try. Let me see if I can. Dip. There we go. Let's add Steve Glosson to the group call and see if this works.
Welcome, apparently, to Geek Out Loud.
Welcome, apparently, to the Star Wars Report.
Riley, Jeff Devano, Mark Herleman, looks like Ken Crowley's in this thing. All kinds of people are in this thing. What's going on, guys?
What's going on, Steve? The great crossover has begun.
Yeah, it has. So I guess you guys are really excited about what we heard. You were kind of live potting as they were live tweeting, right?
Yes, I was confusedly reacting to all of the Twitter as it happened live. and it was amazing. Steve... you'll see at the beginning of the Star Wars Report version of this recording, you will hear me truly lose composure, which I say with some level of pride doesn't usually happen.
He squeed.
In what way did you lose composure?
I stopped talking and then tried to talk for about 30 seconds and couldn't speak coherently and choked up.
Okay.
Riley,
I don't want to take the wind out of your sails right now, but has anyone said you're coming in really hot on the old mic there?
Yeah, and from your version, you're probably going to hear it a little hot. Let me pipe myself down a little bit there. Is that a little bit better, Steve?
That's a little bit better. You're just coming in real. I mean, I can hear the excitement in your voice. You're coming in a little hot. Herleman, how are you doing over there?
Doing pretty good, man. Pretty excited night.
Yeah, have you recovered from the loss of your beloved EU?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, there's still some stories I'd like, but I'm all in. I'm invested in this universe as much as the old one.
Okay, good. And first time to the Geek Out Loud, or really talking to me at all, Joey Tavano. How you doing, sir?
Steve Glosson, it is an absolute pleasure.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Calling from my car in my garage. I had to get on and just discuss this this new footage.
Your car is not actually running right now, is it?
No, absolutely not.
You gotta be careful with this now.
Has the joke already been made?
No, you beat us. Oh, not
yet.
Okay, all right, good. Well, I try to be first with the jokes and last with any intelligent nonsense whatsoever. So, to me, guys, the big thing to come out of this was the behind the scenes reel they showed, and Star Wars just released. I mean, moments after the end of the panel, and kudos to Star Wars. I made sure to tweet out a thank you to them. And as I think everyone should who's interested in watching this, make sure you tweet at Star Wars. Thanks for the footage. Let them know you appreciate it so they continue to do it, just like they did with the celebration coverage powered by Verizon. You know, let them know you're watching. Let them know you're there. Let them know you're excited about what they're doing. And we'll get more. We'll continue to get more of this stuff. We'll start with you, Joey. I'm taking over the Star Wars Report apparently too right now.
That's all right. Let's do it because it's all yours, Steve, for now, because I think we've literally been broadcasting for 2.5 hours.
I've done that before. What stuck out with you most with the footage, Joey?
Well, two things. First of all, I just saw Leia for the first time in 32 years.
Yes.
And that was like, I it's hard to describe, but it's like seeing a member of your family that you haven't seen in so long.
Yeah. She looks great.
She looks unbelievable. And just having that character revealed for the first time in this long has been, that's really where it hit me hard.
Yeah.
The second thing I have to say is this video showed the real heart of what this is all about. Mm-hmm. These people are making tangible models. They're working with blood, sweat, and tears. And it really shows.
It reminds me a lot of those old making of Star Wars videos from back in the early 80s, where they would take you into the creature shop. Yes. And you'd see them working on these things and controlling, you know, with old school look like car remote controls, you know, RC car remote controls, just controlling mouths and eyes and that sort of thing. It really flashed me back to that. So yeah, it is. There's a lot, you know, I don't think that anyone ever sets out to make a bad movie unless it's like something on sci-fi and they're doing it on purpose. But, you know, anytime someone goes into a production like this or any of the big blockbuster productions, no one wants to make a bad movie. But here you definitely get the idea that this is special to everyone involved. And I believe JJ even said something about, you know, it's not enough just to be a fan, because being a fan's not going to make it right. That he's someone who's very serious about getting the tone right and getting the feel of Star Wars right when he does this movie. Herleman, are you looking forward to the 500-page novel that explains why 3PO's arm is discolored?
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed that they're putting it out a month, you know, later. I don't really read that many books on ebook, so of course it coming out that day. I was a fan of the Stover Effect with episode 3, and how, you know, when I went and saw that one, I'd actually read that book first, and I really enjoyed that one the most out of watching them in theater because of that. So it'll be interesting to not have that effect, but I don't know. I'm expecting the book's going to be good with Alan Dean Foster writing it, though.
Exactly. Oh, sure. Well, I'm talking about a lead-up book that's all 3PO's adventure of losing his arm.
All right. I put a stop to this. All right.
Hey, you're on Geek Out Loud now.
Well, I'd like to bring on to Geek Out Loud, if I may, a very special guest as well in studio here in Fayetteville, Georgia. It's my sister, Bethany Blanton.
Star Wars. It's so exciting. It's Princess Leia. It's Rey. It's the music. And it's Han.
Yes, it is.
Welcome to Geek Out Loud / Star Wars Report. More Geek Out Loud at this point than Star Wars Report. is Leia what stuck out to you the most from that video, seeing Leia and Rey?
That is to a degree, yes. And I would say the other one that definitely stands out to me is Harrison Ford and just his expression. He does not seem bitter. I'll put it that way. Like, he seems touched by Star Wars and by the fans and by the magic that is Star Wars.
Yeah, Riley, you know, Twitter was blown up with the fact that Harrison Ford got emotional at one point about the influence of Star Wars on his life and coming back and that sort of thing. And his quote was, "It should feel ridiculous, but it feels great to be back." Do you think that the response, the live response of the fans to him, has anything to do with the emotions that he was dealing with? Or is it all Star Wars? Is it all surprise that he didn't mind stepping back into the role of Han Solo?
When I saw him step up on stage via a Vine video, because that's the age we live in on Twitter.
Right.
The beaming smile on his face as he walked up on stage, and moment later seeing a picture of him stealing a kiss with the princess.
Yeah.
Is a Harrison Ford that I truly did not think existed anymore. And to see
or
that,
ever.
Well, this is true. Fair point. But just seeing that, I think the reaction even on social media and as we were doing it, Mark and I were basically in the final 5 minutes of the panel as we were waiting for Ford to come on stage after they brought up Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill. We were basically just chanting Ford while we were broadcasting live, and when he steps on stage, just seeing Twitter blow up, it's like a small taste of what it must have been like to see Han Solo step on stage, and I couldn't be more overjoyed.
Herleman, what is your overall general response to anything we saw? What sticks out with you, not just from the package reel, but the whole panel?
Well, one thing I really got a kick out of was Simon Pegg being in it. I thought that was kind of cool. There are two trooper-like guys running down one hall that have a new armor that I've never seen before. That kind of jumped out to me. But the biggest one was Rey herself piloting the Millennium Falcon. Like when they had her up in that gimbal and it was spinning around, I didn't see anyone else in the cockpit. That was an interesting moment.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You kind of wonder where in the film that comes. You imagine that. I'm imagining, as I don't know how anyone else is, and this is pure speculation, that Jakku, the desert planet, is probably the first act of the film, much like the original Star Wars. And I could be wrong, I don't know. But you just wonder what has gone on at that point that she's in the Falcon herself. Is she the one with the Falcon? You know, a lot of people were assuming that it would be Poe Dameron with the Falcon, if not Han and Chewie. But maybe it's hers. Maybe she goes and gets it out of hiding because it's that big a deal, whatever's going down.
Yeah, there are so many little angles in this that are play. I mean, you're looking at the base where you see Leia and you're just like, it looks like it's got a Yavin 4 feel to it. And you see the stormtroopers in a couple scenes before that blowing up into the air. And you're like, okay, clearly we have more than just one location where big battles are happening. And I think for me, that's like one of the things that really draw me in on my favorite Star Wars films are the ones that have the most action with the space action and the lightsaber battles and stuff. And I kind of wonder, you know, how much lightsaber battles are we going to have versus the spaceships and stuff? Because I'm kind of starting to think that maybe the spaceships are going to be the bigger deal here.
Well, I mean, I think that when you watch the original Star Wars, that, you know, the actual lightsaber battle is a small, small part of that movie. It's huge. The ramifications are huge, but the battle itself, very, very short, not a huge thing. And the trench run and the Death Star attack a little bit longer, you know, and then you've got the Falcon, you know, getting away from those four TIE fighters and all those other things going on. It really is Star Wars. And whatever's going on with the First Order and the Resistance, I'm like you, those soldiers did stick out to me. And I'm wondering if that's the new, Rebel/Resistance armor. Joseph, thoughts on any of that stuff?
You know, I've had this idea that maybe there's more than two factions that are at war with each other in this new trilogy. Maybe there is remnants of some sort of galactic empire still. Maybe the Resistance and the Rebels, maybe they're two different groups. And I'm really wondering if this new armor is indicative of that.
You're right. It very well could be. I feel like if that happens, and this is just me talking as a fan, and again, this is all speculation, folks. I feel like it could end up getting a little convoluted if you've got too many different factions at play. I feel like the First Order is just a renamed Galactic Empire, hanging on. Of course, we find Domhnall Gleeson. His name is Hux, General Hux. Brienne of Tarth was there tonight, Captain Phasma on stage, Gwendolyn Christie. You know, for the first time at a convention setting like this for Star Wars, as Domhnall Gleeson was there for the first time for Star Wars, and just a really cool, you know, situation. There are characters that are being revealed, but we still haven't, we've seen the reveal of names, you know, like Maz Kanata, and we saw a little bit of Lupita Nyong'o, doing her motion capture stuff in that behind the scenes reel, but we've not seen anything of, Supreme Leader Snoke yet. It's confirmed in this panel that Kylo is a bad guy. And he talks about, you know, there are people that are bad just to be bad, is Adam Driver's quote. People are bad to be bad. They're just, you know, they're just selfish. But when you're evil because you think you're right, that's a whole different thing. And so this is obviously someone who's turned to the potential dark side, thinking he's doing the right thing, a la an Anakin Skywalker, a la Count Dooku. Yeah. Yeah. Are we going to have a redemption story as it pertains to Kylo Ren, Bethany?
I would actually think probably not, because once you do think that what you're doing is for the right reason, it's so hard to convince somebody to turn from the dark side, and especially if they think what they're doing is right, that they don't have any guilt for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Riley, strangely, absent from the reel. I don't know how strange it was, but, you know, conspicuous, I should say, conspicuous by his absence. Though Mark Hamill was on screen as Mark Hamill, we never saw any shots of Luke Skywalker. Is Luke going to play a bigger part maybe in the trailer that's coming this fall?
I think so. And that's another big reveal from Kathleen Kennedy. She talked a lot about that we weren't going to get any more trailers until the fall. And it sounded like, unless I misremember, it was only one trailer left.
Right. Well, it'll be the theatrical trailer that hits, and then there'll be TV spots beyond that. But, that's different from the way Lucasfilm has done things in the past. You know, with at least with the prequel trilogy, there was a teaser, and then there'd be like two theatrical trailers, maybe.
Well, and I speak as someone partially spoiled, but mm-hmm. I from early rumors, and this is one of the big reasons I stopped reading like the big spoilers and the plot summaries when they came out was because of the role of Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, in this film. And so I don't really want to know, because he is the most, as you say, conspicuous by his absence. I think he's going to be part of a very pivotal point of the film. And I think it's going to be huge. And if it's the kind of moment I'm thinking of, and I won't really even care to speculate because I don't want to even wander into that territory, but if there is a really pivotal Luke Skywalker jaw-dropping moment, do we want to see that even alluded to in the trailer? I don't think that would happen. I think JJ's the kind of guy who would leave that for the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone definitely in the chat actually just said they may leave Luke Skywalker for the film altogether. And on one hand, I'm okay with that, depending on the depth of his role in this movie. And again, like you say, if it's just this one BA Luke Skywalker moment, no, I don't want that spoiled for me on screen. It just occurred to me right now, sitting here with us talking, that we could very well see Luke and Kylo Ren in a lightsaber battle. That just now occurred to me, gang. We've kept these characters so separate. I mean, really, the only legacy characters and new characters we've really put together in any shape or form have been Han and Rey because of that Vanity Fair thing. And then we saw Chewie in the cockpit with Rey, you know, on this particular reel that was released. And how great is Peter Mayhew in the Chewie costume, by the way, Joseph?
You know, he looks happier than he's looked in a long time. And it's great to see him right where he belongs.
What was he doing? Was he in the question line, or was he just sitting in the audience?
He did get in the question line at some point.
But he never asks a question.
Not to my knowledge. poor old Chewbacca just standing there. Very conspicuous.
That's disappointing. Guys. That's disappointing. I figured that would have been a pretty special moment for him to do that.
Did y'all notice, Steve, did you notice that what Leia is wearing in the reel is exactly similar to the arm that we see holding the lightsaber? I mean, it is now like 99% sure that she is the one holding the lightsaber, if there were any doubts before.
Yeah, so, I mean, now, Bethany, I don't know if you're familiar with how good I am at calling Star Wars stuff. but I'm 100% sure that's Maz Kanata giving the lightsaber to Leia.
Yeah. So, Leia with right a lightsaber? I'm very excited about this possibility.
Well, if you know what lightsaber that is, that's the key there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is what lightsaber that is. And I don't know, you know, I don't know how much people in the chat know or how much people are listening to this who they're into what's going on. So I didn't want to I'm sorry, Maz Kanata, not Maz Kanata. Sorry, Darth Hound. I don't want to spoil too much for anyone listening. So we got to see some of those aliens from the Vanity Fair photo shoot. Got to see them in motion, moving around a little bit. The big, you know, overweight Bosk with the woman who's sitting on his belly, basically.
Jabba Bosk.
Yeah, Jabba Bosk. And we saw the old Hog Squaddle.
Yep.
If you know, to I guess that's the official name for all of us who listen to Rebel Force Radio. I was really excited to see the lady in the Gonk Droid. You know, obviously they've got to put the top on it, but I think that's really cool. I mean, you know, that's the first really old school outside of these legacy characters. That's the first really old school thing we've seen in anything is a Gonk droid. And to me, I think that settled more in my little heart than just about anything else we've seen, because all the alien pictures we've seen have been so new and a little bit different. And we haven't, you know, I was hoping that at some point we'd see a hammerhead instead of a hammerhead type, you know, instead of a big fat Trandoshan, maybe a normal Trandoshan. You want to see an IG-88 in a junk pile somewhere, a la Empire Strikes Back. You know, you want to see these kind of things. And boom, a Gonk droid. That's, to me, that's awesome. That's just great. The only thing that gave me pause, guys, was that critter that Warwick Davis was talking to.
The weird green head look.
Yeah, it looked like something out of a Sid and Marty Krofft show. You know what I'm talking about, Joseph.
Oh, it's completely. Completely. Awesome. Yeah, you know, that did take me for pause. I'm wondering what they're going to have to do with the lighting to make that look a part of Star Wars. And I'm really wondering what Warwick Davis is going to be portraying in this film as well. It was great to see him on that reel.
Indeed, indeed. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if he's an aged Wicket.
Oh.
Can you imagine? That'd be so good.
As an X-Wing fighter.
Dylan Newhouse has dubbed that little character Jar Jar Puffin Stuff. I think we'll take it. I mean, doesn't he though? It's like Oscar the Grouch got his head stuck in a trash can or something. He's just trying to poke it out and he put some sunglasses on. It's like Oscar the Grouch outgrew his trash can and he's sticking out of it. And then he painted it like Darth Vader. That's what that little guy looks like.
Yeah, the Darth Vader is the ankle.
I just
55 seconds in though, there's a shot of Oscar Isaacs being led down like a detention level by one trooper. And I you know, I've watched this now like four times and the stormtrooper looks rushed. So I'm like, is this Finn inside it or is it someone else? And are they on a mission? Is this something like what we see in A New Hope? I mean, because it seems odd to me that one stormtrooper would be marching him along with the he's got the gun pointed right at him, but yeah, don't really go with one stormtrooper by yourself with a prisoner.
Well, I mean, he's got a gun. What you gonna do? You know, he's got a gun. So, I'm like you. I mean, I immediately thought, well, that's Finn. And in my heart and in my mind, I'm thinking the next thing you see is the fight in that hangar from the trailer. Mm-hmm. where we see the things blowing up and stormtroopers popping up and that sort of thing. Someone mentioned the shot of all the X-Wing pilots standing around the Millennium Falcon. I'm all about it, you know. There is a shot, and it does, man, that base where 3PO and Leia are at, it does have a very Yavin / it's a rebel base for sure, you know, with the different technology and everything that's going on there. So great to see 3PO guys. Anthony Daniels just kind of walking around the Millennium Falcon taking a look. We also had confirmed something that was a rumor a while back. There's an Admiral Ackbar mask you see them working on, and I always said Neen Numb, but I guess it's Nine Numb mask there on set. So very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I'm now looking at this thing. It looks like someone took a mascot from a minor league hockey team and
yeah,
and Darth Vader'd him up a little bit.
Yeah,
he's like, "Hey, Darth, I'm Kylo Ren." That's what I imagine he sounds like.
Oh, it's such the goggles.
It looks like his head is a boulder with moss on it. It really does. Like moss he's, head.
He's Ludo from Labyrinth. He's just had stuff grow up on him.
He's about two steps. Let's all be honest. He's about two steps removed from the poop emoji.
Oh, man.
It's true. That's a great grab. He is two steps removed from the poop emoji. That's a very good grab. And, I mean, it looks like he's wearing a cape. I'm telling you, this little guy thinks he's badder than he is. You know, he's like, I'm a bounty hunter. Look at me, guys. Hey, everybody, I'm going to capture some bad guys. I'm a bounty hunter.
Watch him really be a bounty hunter, too. That would be fantastic.
That would be great. I want to figure if he is, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Oh, definitely. On a vintage card.
On it.
You know,
Oh, by the way, the last shot of everyone sitting into the cockpit is Han and Rey in the pilot and co-pilot seat, and behind them is Finn sitting there. So, man, I tell you guys, it's some good stuff. It's great to see more of that Millennium Falcon set. It's great to see those X-Wings in a hangar. You know, in the original Star Wars, they had one X-Wing and one Y-Wing, and they would just move them around the big set to give it the appearance of a lot of different ships around. Every time they would change like the angle of a shot or whatever.
Yeah.
And here it's just, you know, it's really cool to see kind of a similar process, you know, with a few extra X-Wings and stuff. And they show that crash TIE fighter and how they're using a model and doing that work and, you know, doing some model work. So, you know, I'm not one of these guys who think that Lucas overused CGI in the prequels. But there is, you can't deny there's something special about, about these practical sets.
And Steve, I'll tell you what I kind of said at the beginning of our the Star Wars Report episode, and that is, there's a part of me that would have a little bit of a negative reaction, or at least some trepidation whenever I would hear them say, and it's practical effects, it's practical. It sounded a little pandery to me, but this video, and seeing the heart and the passion of the creators just mm-hmm. bleed through. Yeah. And seeing Mark Hamill, when Mark Hamill says practical sets, I'm sold. I'm suddenly seeing a certain, there's a level of the prequel fan in me that kind of felt like I was being talked down to.
Mm-hmm.
It just died. And I'm kind of, I'm all
now,
in.
Look, I'm going to tell you straight up. It is pandering. When they say practical effects, it is pandering. I still don't understand the shooting on 70mm film. I don't know why. I mean, unless that's just how J.J. Abrams likes to work. You know, there's nothing wrong with digital photography. But it is what it is. You know, it's not going to affect my movie. If you've got the YouTube video pulled up, guys, at the 1:12 mark, at that big, and this was, there was a lot of ado made of this about it being an old Macquarie design for some of the outside of Jabba's palace, that big gate looking thing, with the thing over it. If you look to the left, you'll see the wireframe of the Falcon, the ramps down. There's a thing there. So, you know, look, I don't, you take that what you will with the plot and everything that's going on. So I'm pretty excited.
But you know what this whole experience has brought to me is that for some reason, more so than Celebration, this brought to my mind that we are in a new era of Star Wars. And it's not like I didn't understand that before, but I was always used to going to Celebration, and everyone going to Celebration is a Star Wars fan, and it's exciting and it's a community experience. But this was like, I mean, this is Comic-Con and this is huge. I mean, Star Wars is the next franchise that will be dominating Comic-Con for the next, well, who knows how many more years. And that's just sort of dawned on me, and it really excites me.
Well, it's what's interesting to me is that for so long, Star Wars Day at Comic-Con was all about, here's a little bit of a look at Clone Wars. Here's what's coming up in the merchandising. Here's, you know, ever since the Revenge of the Sith reveal, there's been nothing that big, you know. But here we are now in an era where, you know, next year they'll be talking about Rogue One. You know, and then the next year will be after apparently Episode 8 has been released, that sort of thing. So we're entering into where we're not going to be able to get away from Star Wars. And in some ways, I love that. In other ways, I'm like, be careful, guys. Do you share any type of trepidations like that with me, Herleman?
Oh, absolutely. The biggest fear I'm going to have is going into that theater and walking out going, oh, man, there were so many things that just didn't get right. You know, I'm like I said, I'm on board, but there's a lot of stuff. I mean, even, you know, Legends wasn't perfect. You know, there was a lot of crap in Legends. You know, there was a lot of good stuff, but there was also a lot of junk. And I would just hate to have certain angles played with that just don't feel like Star Wars to me. But then at the same time, I have to recognize that, you know, I'm into things that a lot of people already don't consider Star Wars. You know, I like the whole gray area that the Jedi talked about in the New Jedi Order and stuff like that. But that's not Come something on. That's canon anymore.
Come on. You and I need to have a debate one of these days, Herleman. Joseph, are you worried that there's too much Star Wars coming down the pipe?
No, not at all. I agree. Bring it on. I'm not going to get burned out. And, you know, if there's a miss down the road, there's a miss. But I'm going to remain optimistic until then. I think that everything that they have done to shepherd this into this era so far has been okay by me. And I am just really, really excited to see this be an active and energetic franchise, because there has been so many times throughout my life where it was really in danger of dying. And, you know, after the 15 plus years of, you know, just a lot of negative sentiment out in the general public, I really want to see things turn around. And I'm really, really excited for the future.
Joseph is my new best friend.
Hi, Bethany.
There you go.
I don't like that.
Well, well, and as Cloud City Casino said in the chat, what in the H-E double gaffy sticks is too much Star Wars? Well said, sir.
I'm just asking because, like I say, you've got all these standalone films hitting. You know, the news was broken just earlier this week that the next standalone film is going to be Han Solo.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's like, okay, cool. That's fine. You know, I'm good with that. There are going to be people who loved A.C. Crispin's book who aren't going to be that happy with it. You know, her book series and her book series was great. You've got then there's the rumors of there was a rumor that the director for episode 9 would be revealed at the panel tonight, and that didn't happen.
No, but they all got a Star Wars concert and got to listen to Force Awakens music, so there's that.
Is that what they're listening to? Yeah, Force Awakens music?
According to Twitter, that they were tweeting out that they're playing they're going to be playing Force Awakens music.
I hadn't seen that yet.
Live in concert. Ah.
Okay, so let me tell you guys why Joseph is most definitively right about this whole thing. Joseph, you have me I'm so happy now. But the thing with Star Wars and possibly too much Star Wars is that we'll go the Marvel route with it, as we've all talked about before. But the thing is, even if certain things go wrong or a movie just doesn't quite feel right, or there's a book series that is just like, what the heck is this? And everybody agrees.
Or if someone does parody songs about Darth Vader and his many prosthetic parts.
Yeah.
Hypothetically speaking.
But even if there are gaffes, even if there are mistakes, that's the natural process in creating anything. And I expect there to be some of those mistakes. But if there weren't, then the franchise would never grow. And we wouldn't get the benefits of the creators learning from their mistakes and continuing to create.
High five, Bethany.
Thank you, Joseph.
Well, fine. Look, guys, I'm not saying that there's going to be too much Star Wars. I'm just asking if that's a concern. I'm just having conversation right now.
It's going to be a very different world, to live in, because it'll be very Marvel-esque. There will be films that aren't as good or that we don't like as much as other ones, and that's going to be kind of strange.
The only person that's going to... There's too much Star Wars is the people that are the completionists, the ones that I gotta collect everything with the label Star Wars. Those people's heads are going to explode.
Yep. You know, if I'm burned down the road, maybe I'll change. But right now, that's not how I'm feeling. And
No need to even bring it up.
Yep.
I'm an idiot. Why would I even say such as that?
I will say this. I'm looking at the clock on our end. Steve, do you mind if I do a little bit of a wrap up on the Star Wars Report end of things and then kick you off to continue?
You go. I mean, you can go ahead and kick me off, guys. This has been Riley Blaine. No, Bethany, good to talk to you guys.
Well, and I will say this, Steve, before we jump off and say our proper farewells on the Star Wars Report end of things. Thanks for letting us do this little crossover. I'm sorry. I told everybody in my chat room to start attacking your chat room. But it worked out well. And I will say this coming up, to you guys listening to Geek Out Loud. First, if you like Star Wars, try Star Wars Report. But more importantly, if you like Steve talking about Star Wars, I'm going. Bethany and I are going to boot camp in like 3 days.
To die in the heat.
I am somewhat trepidatiously and excitedly, and also somewhat nervously. But overall, I think it'll be great. It'll be great, right, Steve? Steve Lawson's taking over the show.
Just for a couple of weeks.
So Steve will be jumping in on that. Steve, thank you so much. So if you like Steve talking about Star Wars, the next 2 weekends after you hear this, Steve will be doing Star Wars Report stuff. So that's really cool. And very nice of you, Steve, because Lord knows Mark doesn't want to have to take the entire hosting thing for the entire time at I'm doing field training. So
I would dare say Mark does.
Well, I mean, if you run out, Mark will be doing the hosting afterwards, so he may just be calling you up to do this great debate.
Okay. Oh, that'd be great, Mark. We can talk about how stupid you are for thinking that the gray area of the Force was all right in the New Jedi Order.
Okay. My show.
It was a fun place to play and dabble.
All right. Stop it.
Hey,
blow up. My show is going to explode in flames. Tune into it the next 2 weeks.
Bethany and Riley, good luck. You know, God bless you while you're going out to do that, and I know it'll go well for you guys. And we look forward to hearing from you guys when you get back.
Thank you.
Herleman, I look forward to facing off with you on some EU debates. And Joseph Devano, good to talk to you, sir.
Steve, it was an absolute pleasure.
And we'll get all you guys' plugs in toward the end of this show. So
perfect. We'll talk to you soon,
Thanks a lot,
Steve.
Gang.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye,
Steve.
That's Steve Glosson, everybody. It worked out. I'm so glad that all happened. Perfect. Excelente. Well, guys, I don't really know what to do. Our stream is down, so like our live portion, but I feel like everyone needs to jump over to Geek Out Loud. We've been streaming for literally 5 hours. So there's that. Not 3 hours. It feels like five. But in the best of ways.
I've been podcasting. I've been sitting in this chair since 1 p.m.
Oh my goodness. Good heavens. All right.
Things are asleep.
I've been locked in my car for an hour now.
All right.
I want to talk about locked in something. We had this huge thunderstorm yesterday that rolled in out of nowhere, dumped a lot of rain. Thunderstrike was less than a house away or so. This poor dude and his two kids were down at the cemetery down the street when the power first bumped. The gate. They were locked inside through the whole thunderstorm.
Oh, goodness.
Gosh. Wow. And I mean, it there were lightning when it hit the three houses up the street from us. My house windows shook for 20 seconds. It was my wife just broke into tears. All my girls are starting to cry. And I'm just like,
it's Camino up in the Hurlman house. Craziness happening in Grants Pass, Oregon, ladies and gentlemen.
I've always wondered, is this Mark or Oregon or what Mark brings to Oregon?
It is definitely a combination of both.
This is the Star Wars Report Podcast. Apology accepted, Captain Nito.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The Star Wars Report's live coverage of San Diego Comic-Con is about to wrap up. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. It has been an absolute blast and a pleasure of mine to host you this evening. Man, a huge thank you to Steve Glosson for letting us crash his show, quite literally. And he was super cool about it, and we definitely appreciate that dude. He's amazing. Make sure, if you have not, tune in to Geek Out Loud at geekoutpodcast.com. That's where Steve is. I gotta say, Mr. Hurleman, where can folks find you?
Yeah.
You have to go again, Mark, because Skype was just crapping out.
You can find me at IllogicalRogue2 on Twitter.
There we go.
Or as myself on Facebook.
Exactly. You can find me at The Riley Guy on Twitter and Instagram. Bethany, you are?
I am at Bethany L. Blanton on both Twitter and Instagram.
Excellent, excellent. Make sure you're following at Star Wars Report. Joseph, where can folks find you online?
Oh, find me at Joey Wong Kenobi on Twitter. I'm at RichardZapp.com, BruisingBlasters.Ninja, and also on the Star Wars Report.
There we go. Excellent. Thanks so much for coming on, man. If you're listening to this podcast...
It's a great time.
Oh, for sure. Thanks, man. If you're listening to this podcast...
you can actually see Joey's spoiler-filled review and my spoiler-free review of Dark Disciple on Star Wars Report.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, that's right. Can't wait to get a chance to read that after field training. If you're listening to this and you enjoy this podcast episode and the coverage we did, including the live coverage, help us destroy... There's an evil villain in this world, and it's called Technical Difficulties. And I want to punch Technical Difficulties in the face. And you can help do it.
Right in the face. That's where it's going. My fist, your face.
Exactly. Help us punch technical difficulties in the face by going over to patreon.com/Star Wars Report. Help us get our live show what we want. This, what happened tonight is the kind of magical live broadcasting that hasn't happened ever on the Star Wars Report. And it was an absolute blast. So if you want to join in and help support the show, get yourself a t-shirt and bonus audio, including the entire hour and a half of Mark and I literally following all the tweets and blogs in our giant pre-show of the Lucasfilm panel at San Diego Comic-Con. That's what you want to do. Go to patreon.com/Star Wars Report. That's patreon.com/Star Wars Report. Chip in a few bucks and get yourself some amazing bonus content like that, which I will be uploading this upcoming week before I head off to Air Force field training. I'll be gone for a month, but like I said, Steve and Teresa Delgado will be taking over the show for a few weeks. Mark, you will be doing the same. I really appreciate everyone who's going to be kind of the guardians of the Star Wars Report while I'm away preparing to serve my nation and my God. For God, King, and Country. Wait, that's the wrong
country.
We
have a king?
Wrong, wait, what?
When did that happen?
Oh, man. Okay, that puts the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you listening. It's been a magical evening, and that's about it. There's only one thing I can say. Oh, here we go.
You're listening to the Star Wars Report. Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
That's right. There it is. Woohoo!
Woo!
We just crossed the three-hour... Gentlemen, we just crossed the three-hour mark. Mark is...
7 hours later.
Mark's been there like 7 hours today. Good Lord.
Exceptional broadcast.
I'm going to get my butt chewed by my wife.
Yeah, you are. All right, Mark, I will I will be sending out that email to the staff and everybody shortly, but that's the big thing. That's about it. What
all righty, righty.
I don't know what good.
Carrie Fisher just retweeted, "I still love you. I know."
Nice. Nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh.
I love it.
Only you
all right. I
can say
I'm going to hit stop on the recorder. Oh, what a night. What a night. We'll see you guys. I'll see you guys in a few weeks. You guys will hear Steve and Teresa next week on the program. Let's call it a night. Good night, everybody.
Good.
And thanks
good
for
luck
all
to you, too.
Yep.
Farewell.
Thanks for all see the ya. Fish.